Welcome back. Gridiron Sticks here. So obviously we had the Super Bowl yesterday. Chiefs are victorious. Andy Reid gets his Super Bowl that he's been desperately needing for the longest time now. And Patrick Mahomes somehow gets the job done after a really crappy performance by him.
Yeah, I mean, it really was bad. He was atrocious.
Yeah.
Really, though, I want to see that what stands out was Kyle Shanahan's play calling. I don't know about you, but it was, from my point of view, it was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, just overall, the biggest thing for me was in the first half, in the second quarter, you get an opportunity to get the ball back with like a minute 40 left, minute 35 left. Instead, you don't take your timeouts. You let the clock run down to about a minute, and then you finally get the ball. But what you do with it is you run the ball on like two straight plays.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid then takes his timeout, which I think ended up being like 19 seconds left.
Just right around there.
And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, let's actually play now. And then you take your timeouts. Like that was confusing to me.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, really, when we were speaking of this game last week of the matchup, it was Kansas City's offense versus San Francisco's defense.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I think the offense prevailed. Obviously, they prevailed because they won. But overall, Nick Bosa wasn't much of a force. Neither was Eric Armstead, Buckner, D. Ford.
I mean, I'll disagree with you there because Bosa got to Mahomes.
I mean, he got there sometimes, but it wasn't their usual.
No, not by any means. The 49ers just didn't play well. Well, they played well. They executed what they needed to execute. But once again, Kyle Shanahan decides to pass the ball when the obvious, regardless if you get a first down, you still run time off the clock and make it harder on Mahomes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
ESPN showed a stat earlier today, about maybe 2 hours ago, showing how often the 49ers ran the ball in the second half, and it was only 36% of their play calls in the second half. When you have a lead and you're going up against a guy who can just, with a flick of the wrist, all of a sudden make a big play,
mm-hmm.
you need to take time away, and you take time away with the run. Now, Jimmy G, he didn't have that bad of a performance.
No, he was what he usually does. I mean, he clock manages somewhat, and he's a...
Yeah. I mean, there was a few missed throws. Obviously, the big one to Emmanuel Sanders.
That would have got them the lead back with barely a minute and a half left.
The two biggest takeaways from this game was the pass interference call on George Kittle.
Mm-hmm.
And then was Damian Williams out of bounds.
Both were very ticky-tacky. You could have called it either way.
Yeah.
But that just shows how officiating has gone these past few years.
I kind of find it funny that the pass interference call is a main topic point in this game,
mm-hmm.
because the head referee in this game was also the same one in the Saints and Rams game.
That started this controversy. Yeah. So it's just funny to go full circle. I really hope that they don't continue this challenging rule thing.
Yeah.
Because it's absolutely awful.
Yeah, I mean, it's just not fun in general. It just takes time away and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Well, we'll see. Yeah. Now let's move on to next year's guys.
Yeah. So we got a little bit until the NFL draft's coming up. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of go over some.
Pretty much the top echelon of each position group. We're not going to go every week. We'll start this week off with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But I don't want to do every single position. Obviously the offensive line, defensive line, nothing away from those guys because they are hard. workers, but
those aren't the flash.
They're not skill positions that we want to see. So we'll probably end up grouping like receivers and tight ends together, something like that, just to get it over quick, because we still want to also release a mock draft before, or at least a couple. So
So we're just gonna start off with the main guy that's most likely gonna go number one overall. Joe Burrow.
Yep, Broadway Joe. I want to take this and say what I believe in this. Okay, we'll examine each and every prospect as we go. This guy was unbelievable.
Yeah. This season he was absolutely insane.
You have a outstanding 10-1 touchdown to interception ratio. 10-1 Throwing for 5,600 yards and 60 touchdowns. What?
Yeah.
And I think you can attest to what I'm about to say. I just don't think Cincinnati's going to treat him the right way.
Yeah. I mean, you have a weapon. I mean, if they keep
franchise. He's a free agent.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you have Tyler Boyd.
And you have Joe Mixon.
But really, outside of that, you don't have an offensive line.
Now, well, speaking of that, Jonah Williams, their first-round pick this year, he is coming back. But it was a major injury.
Yeah.
That you don't like to start or have at all. But see, the thing that gets me was what Carson Palmer said recently. He said that when he was in Cincinnati, he never felt like the goal was to win a Super Bowl, which that's concerning. I don't know about to you, but that's concerning to me.
Yeah.
He was a number one overall pick. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, and he could never succeed in Cincinnati.
But see, here's the thing, though. I mean, I'm not trying to be a critic or anything, but is it possible that Joe Burrow was a one-hit wonder?
That's what I'm worried about, too, because, I mean, when you look at his stats, at Ohio State, there was a reason he transferred, okay? They weren't – I mean, he had two total touchdowns there.
Yeah.
Okay, but last year for LSU, he threw 16 touchdowns.
Then all of a sudden, he exploded this season. And another thing is he's much older than the other guys that are going to be on this list.
He's already 23.
And he's going to be 24 when drafted.
He's older than Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson is just finished up his sophomore season in the NFL.
So that's a big concern in my point of view.
I mean, he's still the consensus number one, because I'm pretty sure Cincinnati is locked in on him. I don't think they want to make this kid. They want to bring in the new number nine to Cincinnati. Because Andy Dalton's done. Aside from him, obviously Chase Young would be a good fit there. But I think
anybody's a good fit.
Yeah.
They have so many holes.
The only thing they don't need is running back, and that's good, because this running back class we'll talk about probably next week, it's not very deep.
Yeah, so, outside of the top two guys, it's just kind of
very
Okay, Joe Burrow, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, what's a realistic ceiling for him? Like,
well,
is this a guy who can lead you to a Super Bowl? If so, how many? Or is this just going to be a guy kind of like Matt Ryan?
He'll have the one MVP season, lead you to a Super Bowl, and then never be able to get you back.
And just overall, never really mediocre, but never really stud level.
See, like, nowadays – the Heisman quarterbacks like Lamar, RG3, Cam Newton, they're different, not just because they can run.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? I was about to make comment. All three of those people that you named, they run the ball pretty well, too.
And Kyler, too.
Yeah.
But, like, Baker, he's not looking great right now.
Yeah.
Well, Carson Palmer obviously never looked great. I honestly cannot tell you the last time a Heisman Trophy winner has won the Super Bowl. I don't think it's happened in our lifetime. I honestly do not think so. Because when you look at it, Brady was never a Heisman winner. Was Peyton? Peyton might have. Peyton's the only one that maybe. But Roethlisberger, no. Mahomes, no.
Yeah.
Flacco, no. Like, Nick Foles. So,
no disrespect to Nick Foles.
Realistically, right now, I want to just label it as, for sake of this, he honestly probably is going to end up being like Carson Palmer.
That's fair.
Unless something, like, unless he pulls his magic out, he's definitely going to be Carson Palmer. And I, without the leg injury.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like,
there's just nothing about him that blows me away. Yeah, his leadership. He has the most confidence I have ever seen in an NFL player.
He's really accurate.
True. 76% completion percentage this year.
Yeah.
So, but nothing, like, nothing screams Hall of Fame, Super Bowl champion about him yet. Yeah. So.
And then the consensus, I guess consensus number two guy, or was at least.
Well, for most of the year, he was the consensus number one.
Yeah. Tua.
Tua Tagovailoa.
See, I have a hard time with this one. Obviously, the injury is a major concern.
I think that's probably the biggest concern, is that it's a hip injury, yeah, too.
And he's kind of a more mobile quarterback.
Yeah.
And another big thing is everything's reversed with him since he's a lefty.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's not that many great lefty quarterbacks out there.
No.
Michael Vick?
Well, his career was, you know, shortened for another reason. But,
outside of that,
I mean, Steve Young, but
that's a long time ago.
Yeah. So,
plus, when has Alabama ever had a quarterback come into the league and be a stud?
Let alone a first round pick, because Nick Saban, this is the only position that Nick Saban has not had drafted in the first round, and all this year, everybody was like, he's going to be the first one. He's going to be it. And then that injury, I mean, obviously, you got a team like Miami, okay?
Yeah.
Most teams that are going to have one pick in the first round are not going to take their chance on him. Got they it. Just won't. Miami is, I'll say, lucky enough, not lucky enough, but is full of riches that they can take him with one of their picks. They could probably wait until their second or third pick.
And they should. Realistically, yeah, they should.
But everybody's like, oh, no, they got to jump on him at five. What other team, well, except for the Chargers, because I've heard that they are in love with him, but I've also heard they're in love with Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Where are you putting this guy?
I mean, if I'm the Chargers, I'm not taking Tua. I'm not taking a guy that has question marks about whether or not he's okay. Now I know it's reported that he's going to be ready for the combine,
but we haven't seen that yet.
But also at the same time, is this guy going to be physically ready for a full season, health wise?
I honestly can't say he will be.
And is he actually like pro ready? And if I'm the Chargers, okay, yeah, you're moving on from Phillip Rivers,
but why Miami makes more sense is because they're probably going to bring back Ryan Fitzpatrick, have him as a bridge kind of quarterback, because you probably want to think that it's going to take a year or two for this guy to get ready.
Yeah, realistically.
And if you throw him right into L.A., you might literally throw him into a dumpster fire.
Okay. Say Tua goes to Miami, though.
Mm-hmm.
Does Josh Rosen get traded yet again?
Poor guy. I mean, good Lord. He is
went from saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to win more Super Bowls than Tom Brady.
Yeah.
To being traded to the Dolphins and now potentially being
another casualty. Team. Well, I mean, as it states right now, he is definitely the worst quarterback of that draft class.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to feel for this for Tua. Because he's nothing but a good guy. He's not cocky. He's not a jerk. He's a great leader, but
at the same
time, that hip injury. I feel like Miami is going to be the team to take him. It just depends on when. Because I'm pretty sure they are in love with him. But yet again, they're also in love with Joe Burrow. But Cincinnati, yeah, you know, controls that. So, because after that, Washington has their quarterback.
Yep.
The Lions.
I mean, the Lions.
Could that be a surprise and the Lions just say, sorry, Matt Stafford, and cut him loose?
I highly doubt it.
Because he's done, I mean.
Realistically, if I'm the Lions, I'm trying to take a defenseman, like a defense.
And that's, player. Yeah.
And that's a real, probably.
Okuda.
Or Derek Brown.
Yeah. He needs somebody because he can't do it all by him. Stafford can't do it all by himself.
Yeah.
But then again, you also figure, like, hey, he had Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, but at that point, they didn't have a running game either.
They really don't still. Kerryon Johnson isn't special that much, but.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Moving on then to Justin Herbert stayed at Oregon for an extra season, so over there he could play with his younger brother. I mean, arguably, he probably would have been the best quarterback last year's draft.
I don't disagree.
But at the same time, I'm not a Justin Herbert fan whatsoever.
He
has bust potential written all over for me.
He really looks, and like, I can understand why L.A., the Chargers, like him. Because he kind of reminds me of Phillip Rivers. Obviously not the throwing motion.
Yeah.
But, you know, just that he'll get it done sometimes. In bigger games, it doesn't seem like he comes out.
Like, in big games, it doesn't seem like
anything. In big-time games, he might not do well, but obviously his team does. Because, like, the Rose Bowl, which they just played in, he didn't even have a pass touchdown. He did have three rushing touchdowns, though. But he had an interception, and he only threw for 138 yards. But I don't know. I think Phillip Rivers is his comp, and that's probably why the Chargers are, like, all googly-eyed over him.
Yeah. I just don't really see the hype around him all that much.
He's a big guy. He's mobile to an extent. Kind of probably like Josh Allen, just not as near as big of an arm as him.
Yeah, Josh Allen's got an unreal arm.
But I don't know. I want to believe in him. Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Who do you say? Who do you think he reminds you of? Who would you say his pro comp is?
I mean, I honestly don't know if I have enough footage. I've seen enough footage on him to give him a pro comp.
I would say, okay, obviously Phillip Rivers doesn't have legs, so I would say he's Phillip Rivers with Josh Allen's legs.
Honestly, I could be iffy on this one, but I'm going to go with, from the knowledge that I know, I'm going to go with Jameis Winston.
Okay.
Because Winston's got, he's a little bit mobile.
To an extent.
And he's got an okay arm, I guess.
But the guy
is a turnover machine.
Yeah, I don't think that's what Herbert will be. I just don't think he'll, when it comes to big games, I don't think he'll get you over the top. That's why Phillip Rivers is more like who he reminds me of. Because he'll get you there a few years, but he has to have the pieces around him to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Moving on. Jordan Love.
He pretty much came out of nowhere.
I mean, realistically, all these kind of quarterbacks, except for Justin Herbert, really came out of nowhere. And Tua.
Well, yeah, Joe Burrow had a – but, like, Utah State. No one thinks of Utah State as a football school. He didn't have the greatest season stats-wise, 20 touchdowns to 17 interceptions.
That's really not
– that's almost one for one. I personally do not have any footage of him.
Yeah,
I won't even lie that I know anything about this kid because obviously playing at Utah State,
not really televised all that often.
No, they
really don't have any big time weapons either.
They did get a bowl game, however, but they lost to Kent State. He had three touchdowns, a pick, 317 yards on 30 completions, which, I mean, 10 yards of completion isn't exactly mind-boggling because if you complete that many passes, you should have.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. Realistically, I'm only taking three quarterbacks in the first round this year.
Yeah, but see, the thing that a lot of people are saying is if this kid has a good combine, he could easily slide up there. Because you got teams like New Orleans, which I don't know why everybody's thinking that they're going to take a quarterback, because Breeze will probably come back. Now, we could be saying something different in a few weeks when Breeze retires, but they have Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater that they believe in. But they're all free agents, so they have to wait on Drew's decision in order to start, which is going to be, of course, he would do it, but I don't see him retiring. But you have Cincy taking Burrow, obviously, Miami almost full in on Tua, and you have the Chargers taking Herbert.
Indianapolis could use a quarterback.
Indianapolis is sitting right there, and I think this is the kid for him. I mean, he's 6'4", 225. He's prototypical quarterback size. Now, you just wonder, is this kid going to be like – because obviously in 2004, okay, I don't want to go here, but like you had Eli Manning and Phillip Rivers, okay? You had the big school kids, well, bigger school kids, and then you had Ben Roethlisberger out of Miami of Ohio.
Yeah.
Could this be the smaller school kid that comes in and lights it up? But there's, I mean, it doesn't seem like he scores a lot of points, though.
Yeah.
Like, even his wins, like 26, 38, 37. I mean, they scored 21 in a loss to Boise State. But I'll have to watch more of his probably Senior Bowl tape, which that really doesn't show much. But whenever the combine comes on, we'll definitely have to take a good look at some of these guys, see how they do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually currently watching footage on him right now.
Okay.
I mean, he's kind of mobile. He's got an okay arm.
Does anything jump out at you right now?
That's like my wow factor.
Yeah, that would be like, oh, this guy is. Let's see.
I mean, I don't really know how good accuracy-wise he is, because like most of these plays that I'm watching are kind of more like deep shots.
Okay.
And like him just being out of the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my biggest thing is his wow factor would be passes outside of the pocket. I don't know exactly like how fast he is or anything like that, but.
Well, if he can get around at 6'4", 220, he's probably
pretty
agile. So, I mean, we'll just see. I don't want to talk too much up of him and then be riddled whenever he either A, does well, or B, chokes it away. So,
I mean, in a way, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Russell.
Just taller.
But, like, just watching him play,
okay,
it doesn't look like he's all that tall.
Really?
It doesn't seem like he's 6'4". I don't know how tall, like, the O-line is for Utah State, but...
That's weird.
It's just, like, his throwing motion. I feel like it's very similar to Russell Wilson's. But, yeah, anyways, moving on. We can go one or two directions here.
Okay.
We can go with my boy.
Uh-huh.
Or we can go with the boy that transferred from Alabama.
Let's just hit on Jalen Hurts for now.
Okay. Which is not my boy.
No. The guy is not a pro quarterback.
No, not at all.
He's going to slide into more of the Taysom Hill role, in my opinion. Where, like,
he gets lucky enough to get that opportunity.
Yeah. Now, there are many big school quarterbacks that are great in college and just never get a chance.
Yeah.
I think somebody's going to give him a chance. Obviously, they're not going to draft him this year to start.
I think he's a day three pick.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate because he never was going to be. Like, he was an Alabama quarterback that just unfortunately didn't get his – I don't know what you want to say, like, do more say. Nothing really wows you about him except for his running ability. Yeah. He had a very sour end to his collegiate career against LSU.
Yeah.
But he can bring you back from games. Like, he can bring you, if the games are looking bad for your team, he will definitely get you back in them. Other than that, though, it's – nothing really is amazing about him. So.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be anything in the NFL whatsoever.
No. We probably saw the best of him, and he peaked in college. I mean, the XFL is a thing, so maybe, you know. I mean.
A little bit of advertisement. The XFL debuts on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. Don't have a favorite team yet because I'm probably going to pick somebody that has a decent amount of former Steelers, but I don't really care for much of the quarterbacks that are in it. So,
yeah,
not even Landry Jones. So I'm not picking Landry Jones's team. All right, I think that's enough on Hurts because we don't really believe in him that much.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
So we're moving on now to the guy that I believe is going to be the best quarterback out of this draft.
Not a chance.
From Georgia.
I will tell you what. I hate to break it to you that he's not going to be. I give Jordan Love a better probability to be the best quarterback than him. Mm. Only because, okay, his stats are not bad. They're not. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I'm not saying I would not want him on my team because I would. But I know that the Steelers aren't going to be picking quarterback this year, so I'm not putting my hopes up.
Yeah.
It's just you got to look at ever since he was there, all right, 2017. Do you know who his running backs were in 2017? Nick Chubb.
Sony
Michelle.
Yeah.
And do you know who some of the receivers he had? Calvin Ridley, Mecole Hardman. I mean, he was surrounded by talent. And this year he was too, with DeAndre Swift was always there. His O-line was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I don't think they gave up more than 5 sacks on the year. So he was always in a clean pocket. But no, I see him on the sideline. The thing that I love the most about him is his leadership. He's not cocky whatsoever. He just seems like a genuine good person, and he gets his team involved and wanting to win. So, and that's what you need, but that's what you need in college.
Yeah.
Are you going to get these 30-year-olds that are going to follow him?
For me, it's his footwork in the pocket, being able to step up, being able to throw on his back foot.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those things are very, and like being accurate with those things, it's unreal for me.
Yeah.
And that's what I rave about him the most, is just his footwork's so good, and you need to have good pocket sense in order to be a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not going to diss on him. I know he'll end up starting someday for somebody. It's just, I don't want him to turn into a Mason Rudolph or somebody, you know, that everybody categorizes as a forever backup.
Yeah.
Because there are great quarterbacks in college football that end up being, you know, that forever backup role that is just like, oh my Lord.
Yeah.
But
I mean, really, just if he can hit the tight spaces throws, and just overall be in a good environment where he has a chance to succeed.
Yeah.
And then I think his leadership ability can prevail him this next step further.
I think what's going to help him the most is that he obviously needs to be the elder statesman on a team. So I feel like he's probably – what's going to fit him better is, like, I don't see him going to somewhere like – I mean, Indy maybe would be a good fit because, like, no one there is very outspoken. Mm-hmm. But, like, he can't fit with, like, an Atlanta or, like, he needs a dominant receiver. Like, he needs somebody that he can throw to. But I don't think it can be somebody that's proven, like an Odell, a Julio, Michael Thomas. Like, it won't work because he'll try to take control. And I just – it works for some people. But I just feel like he needs to be that guy on that team that's rebuilding that can be like, hey. Because, like, that's why I see Indy as a perfect fit, because T.Y. Hilton's not an outspoken guy. He's a great receiver.
Yeah.
But I just feel like you need to control that team because that team's relatively young. So
yeah, I mean, for the most part, and you got a good O-line starting to develop there.
Yeah,
finally after Andrew Luck's retirement.
Sadly, but I think that would be a good fit for him. So maybe if I was Indy, I would try to take another skill position at first, because this, I tell you what, this receiver class is loaded. Or maybe if you're Indy, you go the route of a corner. Because aside from Pierre Desir, you really don't have a – even Pierre Desir is not even that big of a guy.
I feel like they drafted some Rock-Ya-Sin or
– yeah, Rock-Ya-Sin, yeah. But so maybe they don't go back to corner since they took one. But, like, you have Darius Leonard. You have a great linebacker, a leader linebacker, and Malik Hooker. Mm-hmm. So you have a good defense. Maybe just shore up the O-line even more, you know, honestly. But – I think you can wait for Fromm on day two or three.
I mean,
but
realistically, I think Jake Fromm's a day three pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that because my ideal fit for him is obviously New England. But
oh, God.
All mock drafts, beginning of the season, he was a first-round pick. Now I've seen him get picked in, like, the fourth, fifth round.
I would say probably late third or early four when those compensatory picks get more in. Somebody's going to take the chance on him, and somebody will probably have a benefit from it. So I wish it was Pittsburgh, but they're like, no, we're not taking a quarterback. And it's like, this kid is easily better than Mason Rudolph, but they won't see that. All right. I think that's enough football for now.
So moving on to the NHL.
How?
If you would have told me that the Columbus Blue Jackets on February 3rd were sitting third in the Metro, I would have told you you're absolutely insane.
Because I'm pretty sure both of us can conclude that when we were doing our season predictions, we both predicted them to be last.
Yeah, if not like
last in their division. We definitely can agree it was definitely last in the division.
Yeah.
Regardless, it could have been a top five pick. And now they are
third in the division somehow, some way. Their scoring's really not that great.
But their goaltending is.
Their goaltending has been phenomenal over the past month. I don't really understand how. It's just Elvis Merlinkis is just killing it right now. But yeah. So last week I went a little bit on a rant about the Sharks.
Sad enough to say, they just took a huge blow.
Yeah, this season's over for them. Tomas Hertl tears his ACL, and his season is done for. They lost Logan Couture early on in the season. I think they actually just put Logan Couture on IR either today or yesterday.
And the trade deadline's coming up.
Yeah.
They need to think fast or else
they need a full rebuild.
Yeah.
I know last week we talked about the players that I would keep on the roster.
Correct.
I still hold very true to that, but at the same time, I'm looking to unload. I would be actively shopping Brent Burns. It's nothing against the guy or anything like that.
But then again, you can probably get the most...
You can get very good value mm-hmm. back for him. You need to start thinking of the future.
Because
mm-hmm. you don't have a first-round draft pick this year. You had a really good prospect in Josh Norris, who you then traded for Erik Karlsson. Your best prospect right now is Ryan Merkley, who has attitude issues. I hate to say it, but he has very, very high attitude issues. There was one point in the season where he wasn't even on a junior team because of how big his ego is. I don't really know what his whole deal is or whatnot. I mean, he eventually moved on to the London Knights, which the London Knights are a perennial junior team. All of a sudden, this kid has ungodly talent. It's just you need to get him in the right attitude, in the right situation. He looks like he's finally in that right situation. He's dominating with the Knights. The Sharks are a good organization for him, realistically.
Okay.
He's a defenseman, though. You have nobody else in your lineup. That's good, really. Hurdle's like 25 now. Timo Meyer's like 22, 23-ish, maybe 24.
He's obviously somebody you're not going to trade.
Yeah. Kevin LeBanc's like 25. Okay, those are your three best young forwards.
Yeah.
You have nothing after that. You need to get younger. You need to do take on busts from other teams, like Pavel Zacha, like Sam Bennett, Casey Middlestat, Jake Vertan. I could go, the list goes on and on. Hosang and Dal Cole from the Islanders. Just try and take those players on, put them in a role where they can succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a lot of playing time, and just let loose for the rest of the season. Just let those guys, young players, play. They have a lot of speed, obviously, because they're young.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows? You might be able to win a few games.
Or just give the guys that you know, your somewhat older guys, put them on cup contenders and let them.
Like Patrick Marleau and Joe Thornton.
Or Burns, too.
Yeah. Brendan Dillon's another one. Yeah. Trying to trade Mark Edward Vlasic, although that'd be tough with his contract. His contract's very brutal.
Hmm.
And that's another thing. Is most of their contracts are terrible.
Yeah.
Like, you're paying Evander Kane $7 million. You're paying Brent Burns $8 million.
What has Kane done this year?
He's probably a 20-goal scorer, maybe. If that, you're paying Mark Edward Vlasic $7 million. You're paying Erik Karlsson $11 million.
And you're sitting at a whopping 48 points.
Yeah. You mentioned about the trade deadline coming up at the end of this month.
Yeah.
Realistically, I just kind of wanted to briefly go through a little bit of who I think are going to be buyers, who I think are going to be sellers. Nashville. This is a tough one. I think you need to do a little bit of buying and a little bit of selling at the same time.
Because they're not out of it by any means.
But at the same time, I feel like moving a guy like Kyle Turris or moving a guy like Ryan Johansson.
So are you talking like blockbuster trade where you give up one for one?
Yeah, I'm talking blockbuster trades here. You need to do something. Trading Mikael Granlund probably is a good fit.
But you're expecting major something back.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, maybe not for Mikael Granlund. Maybe you're not looking that much for Kyle Turris either. But, like, you need to do something. You need to add really good depth. You need a superstar on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have Roman Josi, and he's a superstar, but he's on defense. You need a forward that can just take over. Forsberg's kind of there. But not really. The Sharks, obviously, they need a tank full on. Columbus is an interesting one.
Will they buy again and then just let everybody go?
I don't think they're buying. I don't think they're really doing anything at this deadline. I think they should really just stand pat. I mean, if you make the playoffs, great. You weren't expected to make the playoffs, so congratulations.
Yeah.
Colorado, I'd be scared. They got a lot of cap space to make trades, and they got a lot of assets to make trades, too. Obviously, Arizona's going all in as they traded for Taylor Hall.
And Phil Kessel in the offseason.
Yeah, where's Phil Kessel? He's literally been nowhere to be found in Arizona.
This is sad.
Montreal, his potential seller.
They're slipping a little bit.
I mean, Carey Price seems to have found his game again. I know last night he had a little bit of a slump, but he played a back-to-back for whatever reason. And the game beforehand, he pitched a shutout.
You can't put too much of that on him.
Yeah. But over the last three-ish weeks, maybe even in the past month, he's rocking like a .920 save percentage. So he's doing all right now. More Carey Price numbers. But, I mean, I've heard Max Domi as a potential trade option, Thomas Tatar, Brendan Gallagher.
Are they going to go? Because they're not too far out, but then again, they are.
Jonathan Drouin's coming back soon.
Yeah.
And when Drouin was in the lineup, they were clicking. But who knows? Obviously, some teams that are going to be buyers, obviously Washington, Pittsburgh, Boston, Tampa.
Those are the top teams that want to just add that one. Like, you obviously aren't going to see a fire sale from any of them because they want to just add that one piece that they feel is missing. Obviously, Pittsburgh needs a defenseman in the worst kind of way, honestly.
Vancouver is an interesting one. I don't really know what I would do if I'm Vancouver because you're really not expected to be good yet. You're
top of your division.
Up there.
Yeah. That division's full of teams. Like, I mean, it's everybody. You know, the top five teams are there, and then you got the California teams that are just, you know, sitting pretty in the sunshine. Getting back to our YouTube episode at the beginning of the season, what does Minnesota do? Are they just – would anybody want anybody from them?
Yeah, and if I'm Minnesota, I'm trading everybody. I'm trading Eric Staal. I'm trading Jason Zucker.
Holy cow.
Kevin Fiala's gone. Yeah. Matt Dumba's gone. Jonas Brodin's gone.
I feel like Zucker's going to leave. It just depends on who.
Or Suter because their contracts are too difficult to trade. Mikko Koivu, I would trade off. Ryan Donato, I would trade off.
So you're looking at them just bringing up their minors guys? Or do you want picks? Do you think they should ask for picks in return? Or
they need something.
They're not going to get anything.
Realistically, Jason Zucker for Alex Galchenyuk plus something else from the Penguins.
It's probably going to happen sooner or later.
And then Alex Galchenyuk can be that number one C in Minnesota and watch him flourish. Because then he'd be getting a great opportunity to play his natural position. And I just think, I don't know, something about him in Minnesota just excites me.
And obviously Pittsburgh wants
Zucker
for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You need a defenseman. I mean, it's pretty obvious if you're Pittsburgh. Because, you know, yeah, you got Brian Dumoulin coming back, but what does that really excite Pittsburgh fans?
No.
Letang
has played awful.
The only semi blip of a bright spot they have on that side is Marino.
Yeah.
But, like, Jack Johnson, oh, Lord. Yeah. Justin Schultz came back. He just looks bad. Marcus Pettersson, for some reason, got a 5-year deal. In the Caps game yesterday, Schultz almost gave up quite a few.
Yeah.
So,
well, moving on to the overreaction, not overreactions. Kyle Shanahan is forever a choker.
It's not an overreaction, buddy. It's you have two of the biggest games of your life, and you just watch, you tell your offense something horrible to do. And you just watch from the sideline as the other offense just eradicates your defense.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mahomes is the GOAT.
Okay. Listen. No.
Not yet, at least.
He's 24 years old.
He has one Super Bowl to his name.
Isn't he
the best quarterback in the league right now? Yes. And is he the most... athletically gifted quarterback in the league? Yeah.
Arm talent, heck yes. He is honestly and I think it's by a large margin how he's the best.
Yeah.
Like, just pure quarterback position. It's really exciting because he's only 24 and we get to see it for another at least probably 10 years. So, probably longer than that. But we'll see, right?
Yeah. And then the last topic today, Alex Ovechkin reaching the great one, Wayne Gretzky in goals for his career. He's still got almost 200 goals to go yet to catch up. But if anybody can do it, it's this guy.
I mean, it's only 4 seasons of 50 goals, and that's very possible for him.
Yeah.
Especially because he doesn't need to control the puck. He's just – you his find them, boom.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's slowing down at all. I mean, knock on wood.
Yeah.
But he's got like 35, 36 goals already this season. This man's like 33, 34 now.
Put it another 4 years, you got, what, 37?
Yeah.
Players can play into their 40s if he's just shooting the puck.
Yeah, and plus he can have a reduced role, just be a power play specialist for the team, if not for the Caps. So
there you go.
I mean,
it's very possible.
If there's anybody that can achieve it, it's him.
Yeah, especially because his main priority is not controlling the puck. It's just seeing it, shooting it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And he's got the best shot that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Well, this one wraps this week's episode up. We'll see you guys next week.